of Luke, he brought me to Luke chapter 10. And I want us to look at this thought this morning of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, I asked a question in the very beginning of this service, and that's why we sing 505. I asked how many of you were tired. How many had a lot going on this week? And it goes with our message this morning. As we look at this, and we're going to see what is taking place, and it's a familiar event recorded in scriptures for us that many of us have seen or heard this event told to us many times, even since we were little kids, and we can play it out in our minds just a little bit, and we see the truths that are here. But I want us to focus on the thought of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sometimes we just need to be still and know that He is God. Sometimes we just need to come to the place of all our busyness and all our life and all the stress and all the pressures and come to the feet of Jesus. And that's what we're going to see this morning. Luke chapter 10, if you're able to, we'll read from verse 38 through verse 42. And I want us to look at some simple thoughts this morning, but I believe they can be a great impact upon each of our lives. If you're able to, please stand with me as we read from Luke chapter 10, starting in verse number 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. For Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we ask as we look at your word this morning that you would illuminate your scripture. And work in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Look with me again in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered in a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. I want us to look as we are looking at sitting at the feet of Jesus. I want us to first to see the first individual here, Martha. Now, Martha did something. She received Jesus into her house. Now, many times people look at Martha and they start to just go off on Martha because what is happening and what is going on and what she accused later on of Mary and all that's taking place. But I want us to look at this thought of Martha here just for a moment. And we're going to spend most of our time on Mary. But I want us to look at Martha. Now, Martha was an individual that received the Lord into her house. And I believe that is the first step. I don't believe Martha was a wicked individual. I don't believe Martha had the wrong motives. I believe what happened with Martha, and what's happened with many of us, is we get caught up in the busyness of life that we lose focus of what we ought to be doing. Because Martha started off, she received the Lord into her house. And the first thing that every one of us need to do, we need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Without the Lord, we do not have salvation. Without the Lord, we do not have hope. Without the Lord, we are helpless and hopeless in this lost and dark world. But there is hope when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God sent his only begotten Son to come to the sin-cursed earth, to die upon the tree of Calvary, rise again the third day to offer the only way of salvation. And when man repents of his sin by faith, turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, and puts their faith and trust in him and him alone, they have salvation. It started here. She received him into the house. We need to receive the Lord as our Savior. But we also need to receive the Lord each and every day in the sense we need to allow him to rule and reign in our lives. We need not to shut the door. You know, it's interesting. The Lord comes to the door, But the Lord will never knock the door down. We must receive the Lord. And as we receive the Lord in salvation, we need to receive the Lord into our lives every day in the sense that we need to allow Him to rule and to reign in our hearts, in our lives. We need to allow Him to have that first place in our lives. And we ought to be eager when the Lord is there. We ought to want to open that door and say, Lord, come on in. Lord, we want You in our home. Now, there is a story of an individual. The pastor went to visit. And he was sitting with this man, and this little boy came in the room. And this man said, oh, go get my favorite book. And the little boy left and went. He was hoping the little boy would bring the Bible. But the little boy brought a Sports Illustrated magazine and said, here, Dad, here's your favorite book. Now, many times we are not excited, and the dad was not excited about what the boy brought because this pastor saw what the truth was. Sometimes we're not excited about the Lord being in our lives. We're not excited about letting the Lord rule and reign our lives because we're afraid what He's going to see, what He's going to do. I don't believe Martha was worried about what the Lord was going to see because she knew everything was in order. She knew what was taking place and what was happening. Martha received. But I want us to see some thoughts in regards to Mary. And we're going to look at Martha a little more as we compare these two. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. We need to come to the feet of Jesus. Martha received. Martha went and she was busy. We're going to look at what she did. She was comforted. But we see Mary. What did Mary do? What's the comparison? What did Mary do? She sat at the feet of Jesus. But there's a key here. And heard His word. As we look at this, as we get a glimpse of what is being taken place here. What happened is Mary came to Jesus' feet. She knew where she needed to go. Now, we can be busy in life, we can have all the stress and all the pressures and everything that's taking place, and we can get caught up in this, but where we need to go in life is to the feet of Jesus. We need to be still and go to Him and let Him teach us and learn from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's why it's so crucial that you and I get in the Word of God on a daily, regular basis in our lives so we can come to the feet of Jesus, so we can come to this place that God can work in our hearts and in our lives. Mary knew where she needed to be. She needed to be at the feet of Jesus. And when she came to the feet of Jesus, she could forget about all her cares. You see, look with me, verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Now, we need to serve, do we not? We need to serve in the local church. Oh, there's nothing wrong, Pastor. She was serving God. Yes, we need to serve God. Yes, we need to do what God wants us to do. We need to be involved. Yes, we have a lot of people in our churches that sit and they soak and they sour. They don't serve. But we're saved to serve. We're saved to be involved. We're saved to live a life that's pleasing in the sight of God. But there's a word there. She was cumbered. What does the word cumbered mean? That word cumbered means she was distracted, to be driven about mentally. She became so distracted with service and so focused on service. We see later on she became frustrated in her service. You ever met someone that's so-called serving the Lord? And you see how they serve the Lord, that come in the Sunday school classroom and they throw the material on the table. And the kid makes one little noise. You be quiet right now. Right? How many have ever seen anything like that? No, you don't have to admit it. But you've been to that place, right? Because what has happened is you're serving, but you're cumbered about in your service. You become distracted. You become focused on what you're doing and not who you're serving. And there's a key in that in our lives. So many times in our lives, we get so caught up in the act of serving that we forget who we're serving. Let me give you another thought. You don't have to admit this, because I know I'm probably the only guilty one in this room. And you guys are all angels, I know. But how many of us have so-called serve, and we got upset. We got our feathers ruffled just a little bit because sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so aren't doing anything. And oh, I can't believe all they do is come to this church. They don't do anything. And we get a little upset about that. How many of us have so-called served before in the church? Oh, I'm the only one that gets stuck in this nursery with these snotty-nosed little kids. There's 100 other people that could go in that nursery. Why aren't they going in that nursery? I mean, I know none of us ever thought that way before. Don't lie, you're in church. How many of us got frustrated before in service? And we said, well, no one ever told me what a great job I'm doing. Oh, do you know a lot of people stop serving the church because they don't get the applause of man? Because they haven't heard man say how wonderful you are, what a great Sunday school teacher you are, what a great children's church worker you are, what a great individual you are, what a great deacon you are, what a great this and that. That's when you get cumbered about doing the work. We've got distracted. You see, the reason we don't go to the feet of Jesus, and I want us to see this, is because we've become distracted. See, Mary came to the feet of Jesus. Martha was doing good, but she got distracted. And because she got distracted, she did not come to the feet of Jesus. And many times in our lives, we have become distracted in our so-called service of Christianity that we have not come to the feet of Jesus. It is sad, but it's true. There's many in service that have never spent time at the feet of Jesus in the Word of God during the week. And they come in and they're going to teach a Sunday school class. They're going to come in and they're going to serve in the role of a deacon. They're going to come in and they're going to serve in this role, that role. They're going to do this. Why? But they're at that point. They've never come to the feet of Jesus. And they're cumbered about. They become distracted. In our daily life throughout the week, many believers, those that put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we get distracted with serving. We get distracted of being a Christian. Now, please be careful. I don't want this taken the wrong way. But we become distracted with being a Christian. In such a sense, we have to act the act and look the part. And we know how to walk every day. And when we know someone is from church around us or someone that knows we're a Christian, oh, we know how to put on a Christian smile. We know how to just look just right. And we know what words to say. We know what to do. And we go through that. But man, by the end of the week, we are so frustrated. We are so upset. And because everyone else isn't living how they should be living. Well, so-and-so goes to church, and so-and-so says he's a Christian, but he's not living this way. He's not doing those things. But we've never been at the feet of Jesus. See, there's a key. If we've been at the feet of Jesus and we're living that Christian life, then we're not going to become weary and well-doing. That's what Scripture warns us. It says, do not become weary and well-doing. How do you not become weary and well-doing? You have to come to the feet of Jesus. You see, the reason she didn't come to the feet of Jesus is because she became distracted with everything else. How many times in our lives have we become distracted with our kids? Now, what do you mean, preacher? Now, I know kids take a lot of work. We have four. And I enjoy every one of them most of the time. They are somewhat good kids because there is no good, no, not one, right? But how many of you, even if your kids are the perfect angel, how many have perfect angel kids? Raise your hand, please. Lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord, but they that do truly are his delight. All right? Just give that to you. But there's a time, how many of you that even admitted that you have perfect angel kids have become frustrated with the perfect angel kids? Yeah. Little Miles is how old now? Almost 8 months old. And how much does he cry sometimes? And when is that hungry cry? Always convenient time, right? How many have tried to keep their kids on a schedule? We know how that works. But we become frustrated. You know why we become frustrated in our life? Our kids. Our kids take our time. And because our kids take our time, what it would do sometimes, if we allow it, it keeps us from the feet of Jesus. How many love your job? Most of you do in here. You love your job. Some of you don't love every day of your job. Because some of you do certain jobs, you have to deal with me and you don't love it. But most of us love our jobs, right? I love my job. But there's some days that we probably don't always love our job. But what happens with our job sometimes? It becomes a distraction. And what does it do? It keeps us from coming to the feet of Jesus. How many love not just your kids, but you love your extended family? You love your parents and your grandparents and your brothers and your sisters and your nieces and nephews and all those. But you know what? They can become a distraction. Because what happens is it keeps you from being at the feet of Jesus. Now, you don't have to admit this if you're here and you're married, because I don't want you in trouble. But how many of you really love your spouse? Now, if you want brownie points, you better raise your hand. All right? But do you know your spouse can become a distraction from you being at the feet of Jesus? Now, some people have different love languages, and we're not going to get a whole message on love languages. But one of the love languages is time. And a lot of our spouses, what do they need? They need time. And what happens, though? We give them all the time that they need. And what don't we do? We don't come to the feet of Jesus. We have been distracted. I want us to look at another thought here. Look with me. And she was Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone?" She was distracted, but we also see that she got the woe is me syndrome. The woe is me syndrome. Now, she was cumbered about. She was distracted serving. She was focused on serving, not focused on the Lord. Now, she did right. She received him into the house. But now she comes to the place that she allowed herself, not being at the feet of Jesus, allowed her to a place where what? She became frustrated with the event and what was going on. Now, I mentioned this a little bit in the introduction, but I want us to look at this as we look at the woe is me syndrome. What happens when we have the woe is me syndrome? It keeps us, once again, from being at the feet of Jesus, and we start pointing fingers at everybody else. And we say, well, look at me. I am so spiritual. Look at me and how great. Have you ever met a person that is the most spiritual person you've ever met? And you didn't have to ask them. They told you they were. Right? How many of you met people like that? All right. And they, maybe it's you. Some of you are laughing. I don't know. And this idea is, I'm so spiritual because I'm serving. I'm doing. And we get this woe is me. No one else is doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I believe many times in our Christian service, if we're not at the feet of Jesus, we get the self-centered attitude. We get to this place that we are frustrated. Because we look in a church, and it's true, in a church, we know that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That's typical in almost every church. And what happens is, the people that are doing the work, if they're not at the feet of Jesus, they look and they start saying, why isn't that person serving? Why isn't that person doing something? Why is that person not? And we become, woe is me. How many of you ever got so busy in life and you look at someone else and say, man, I wish their life was as busy as mine? Some of us probably thought that. I can't believe that person has free time during the day. I don't know what I ever do with free time. And I wish I had that extra time. I tell you. And what happens is we get so frustrated with what everyone else is doing. And what do we need to do? We need to compare ourselves with the Word of God, and we need to be at the feet of Jesus. Now, some of you do have harder schedules than others. Some of you are busier than others. But if we come to the feet of Jesus, and we're going to see what happens when we come to the feet of Jesus, when we come to the feet of Jesus, he gives us a peace. He gives us the hope. He gives us the strength that we need. Even when our schedule is busy, but we become focused. We are very selfish people. How many of you are selfish? You know, oh, wow, some of you, you're honest today. Wow. Well, Dave, we already knew that about you. And some of us are selfish people. And we are very selfish in that way that all we do is we look at what? Ourselves. And all we care about is ourselves. We care about how we feel. We care about what we're doing. Now, please know I'm doing this as an illustration, not thinking of anyone in mind. But have you ever talked to a person that all they do is talk about themselves and all their problems, and as soon as you try to tell your problem, phew, they go right over the top of it, and you're never able to even get in a word in edgewise and be able to say, hey, this is how I'm feeling? Because that person is so focused, and please don't take this the wrong way, this is just a general illustration, but we become so focused on ourselves and our needs, no one else matters. And I believe this is where she came. She came to this place that she was so cumbered about, she didn't even realize what her sister was doing. Because her sister wasn't just sitting and relaxing. Her sister was at the feet of Jesus. And she even said, Lord, you do something with my sister. You tell her to get up and get serving. She left me alone, Lord. She's making me do everything. This is what it says. She left me alone. She's making me do all the work for you. You get a hold of her. Lord, get a hold of her. We become so frustrated in our Christian life because we become so distracted, and we become so much with the woe is me, the self-centeredness in our lives, that we get so upset that we say, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, why aren't you getting a hold of that person? Why aren't you telling that person they ought to serve God? Why is it all on my shoulders? Why is it all on me? Why is all the pressure on me? Now, I want you to see another thought here as we continue. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Look at verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We see the reason Martha didn't come to the feet of Jesus. Why? Because she was distracted and she had a woes and she was selfish. But I want you to see this other side. Mary came to the feet of Jesus. Mary realized what she needed. You and I must realize what we need in life. We've looked at Martha and being cumbered about. Martha was distracted, but we need See, if we're going to come to the feet of Jesus, we need to get focused in our lives. You know what we need to realize? What is most important in our lives? I understand our family's important. I understand our jobs are important. I understand and serving God is important. But if we are weak, we are not serving. We need to understand what is important in life. What is important in life is our focus has to be on God. I'd rather have a person be honest and say, I'm not in the Word of God, so I can't serve, than a person serve and pretends that he's in the Word of God. Because that service that we're doing does not amount to anything if we're not being fed ourselves. And we got to be focused. If I'm going to come to the feet of Jesus, and that's where all of live that verse? How many of us live that verse in Proverbs that tells us to give him the preeminence? How many of us live out the word of God that says we need to make him first and foremost in our lives? That is where we need to come, and we need to be focused on him. Oh, there's a lot of load, there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of busyness, there's a lot of pressure, but our focus needs to be on God and on him. And what she realized is she had to go to Jesus, and she went to the feet of Jesus, and at the feet of Jesus, as she was focused on Jesus, she was fed. We need to be focused, and we need to be fed. We're going to come to the feet of Jesus. How many of you like to eat? Most of you like to eat. Some of us like to eat more than others. And we like to eat. And how many of you like certain foods over other foods? How many like hot dogs? Nasty. How many of you like a ribeye steak? How many of you like rice cakes? You know what those are, right? Those puff things that taste like cardboard, and they tell you to put peanut butter on them or something, and then they stick to the roof of your mouth. Oh yeah, they're wonderful. Just get the cardboard and put chocolate sauce on it, it probably tastes better. But what we need to do, we need to be fed. How many people always feed themselves the right way? Now, when you're a baby, your parents, and when you're a child, your parents make sure you eat the proper foods, the right type of foods. But as you grow, and as you're gone from the home, now who is responsible to make sure you eat the right type of food? Yourself, your family unit, whatever it is, you're now responsible to eat. How many of you as adults, for dinner, now Rich, please don't answer because I know what you do. How many of you get a bowl of candy and set it at your plate, Rich does this, and at your plate, and you just take spoonfuls of candy, and that's what you eat on a constant daily? How many do that? Not many, right? Now some of the kids say, man, that sounds really good. Oh, can we do that after church? Pastor has his candy on his desk. Let's go grab it. Let's just put it in. We know we have to eat certain things. Now, we understand that each person's body operates different and what affects and what doesn't affect. But we know certain things that we need to eat, certain things that we should not eat, certain things that we get mad at other people because they can eat and we can't. And we look at all that, right? But we need to make sure that we're being fed the right stuff. Just as careful as a parent is to make sure that their child is eating the right foods, we as adults need to make sure we're eating the right spiritual food. We need to make sure we're being fed. Do you know what some people do physically, regular eating? They only eat once in a while. They don't eat everything. They eat maybe a meal here, a meal there, and go throughout, they don't eat. But what happens is, there's a lot of sicknesses and terms given to that type of eating. Some even will eat, and then they regurgitate that food later on, and there's different things. But let me ask you, how healthy is that individual that eats that pattern? They're not healthy. If someone ate a sugary diet, how healthy is that individual? Not that healthy. What needs to happen as adults? We need to eat the proper foods for our bodies on a daily, regular basis and make sure we eat that. And we eat that food. And then we become healthy. Spiritually speaking, some individuals go once a week, spiritually speaking, and eat. Now let me ask you, if you go once a week at the feet of Jesus, once a week, being there, focused on him, once a week, getting fed. How spiritually mature, how healthy, spiritually speaking, are you going to be? Well, it's the same as only eating once a week. I don't know if I can make it eating once a week. I think I would struggle. Some of you might be able to make it, but let me ask you, how much energy are you going to have? How much strength are you going to have for the battles that you face in life? Spiritually speaking, if we only eat once a week, we come once a week, and all we do is we at the feet of Jesus, focus on Him, being fed once a week, how strong are you going to be when you go out to this world and the devil comes and attacks? The fiery darts start being shot at you. And you're in that spiritual warfare, and all that's happening. Let me ask you, how strong are you going to be? You're not going to be strong. Now, what if you ate twice a week? Twice a week I ate. You're a little stronger, right? Better than the once a week. But you're still not as strong as you should be. You're still a little weak. Then if you increase it to 3 and 4 and 5, you keep getting stronger. But what happens if you eat every meal that you're supposed to eat 7 days a week? And you eat the right type of food the 7 days a week, being fed spiritually as you ought to be, and eating the right stuff every day. Let me ask you, aren't you going to be a little stronger for the battle? Yes, you are. And that's where we need to be. We, each of us, need to come to the feet of Jesus and be at His feet and focus upon Him, but allow Him to continue to feed us. We need to be in His Word, around His people, studying His Word, living out His Word, focus on Him and keep being fed so we can be what God would have us to be and be healthy spiritually because we're at the feet of Jesus. Now, what happens when we come to the feet of Jesus? We have strength, but we also have calmness. Be still and know that I'm God. As she came to the feet of Jesus, she wasn't worried about what her sister was doing. She wasn't worried about what Jobs had done. She wasn't worried about the distractions that her sister was distracted by. She was concerned about being at the hearing what Jesus had to say. And Jesus Himself said, she chose a good thing. You know what she chose? She chose Jesus over everything else. I'd rather have Jesus than anything else. That's where she came in her life. And that's where you and I need to come in our lives. Where we need to choose Him over anything else. And we have the strength. We have a calmness. We have a peace. And we have the reassurance that God gives us. See, God gave her a reassurance. You know, sometimes, how many of you need to be reassured sometimes in life? How many of you have been going strong? You've been serving God. You've been living for Him. You're at His feet. You're doing what He wants. You're being fed. You're getting everything that you need to be getting. You're getting all the things that you need to be getting in life. But man, there's some people that oppose what you're doing. You have some family members say, I can't believe you read the Bible every day. I can't believe you go to church. I can't believe you're not involved in that activity. I can't believe you don't drink. I can't believe you don't smoke. I can't believe you don't chew. I can't believe you don't do those things. I can't believe you're involved in this music ministry. I can't believe you're involved in that. I can't believe you're doing those things. I can't believe you're living for God. I can't believe you're not speaking the way all of us speak. I can't believe you're not doing this. And we get attacked from all out there. But be reassured, what did God say? What did Jesus say? What she's doing is a good thing. And if you're at the feet of Jesus, there's no better place to be. Because when we're at the feet of Jesus, that's a good thing because we're going to get all that we need. You see, we need to come. We need to learn to come to the feet of Jesus. Oh, we need to serve God, but don't become cumbered about, distracted. Don't allow your selfishness, your woe is me, to get in the way. Realize that you need to stay focused on God and you need to be fed from God and be reassured. That's a good thing. Let each of us to make sure on a daily, regular basis that we're at the feet of Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you, God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you don't know the Lord, he loves you. He wants you to come unto him and receive him as your Lord and as your Savior. For all of us have come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Come to him this morning. Believer, you might be tired. You might be heavy because of all the loads that are upon you. Let's get refocused. Let's get fed properly. And let us find ourselves back at the feet of Jesus and get all that we need. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for this event recorded for us. And there's even more in there we didn't cover this morning. But Lord, I know you what you want us to get. We thank you for the truths that you gave us. And Lord, I pray you encourage each of our hearts, strengthen each of us. And Lord, help each of us to find ourselves back at the feet of Jesus. And we do pray there's one that does not know you as the Lord and Savior, that even this morning they will come and let someone take the word of God and show them how they can know for sure that their sins are forgiven and they have a home in heaven. We pray in Jesus' precious, holy name. Amen. Heads bowed.